our Lord, jeho dvor, jeho kůňstvo. Amen. Yesterday in the Armenian Church, we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Evangelists, the four Gospels. And we hear this word gospel very often, especially being in the Bible Belt of Texas. You hear this very often, the gospel. But the question is, what is the gospel? When we hear this word gospel, what comes to mind? And for many of us, the following things come to our mind: salvation, truth, life, good news, spiritual food, message, resurrection. And all of these are correct. The gospel encompasses all of these things. But when the question changes just a little bit and we don't ask, what is the gospel, but rather, who is the gospel, it takes a totally different point of view. And naturally, the answer to the question, who is the gospel, is Jesus Christ. He is the gospel. And he is these things: salvation, life, truth, good news, spiritual food, the message, the resurrection. Today we have four gospels in the Bible. In the early church, there were many gospels going around, and we may have heard of some of them. Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Mary, Gospel of Bartholomew, and so on. There are many gospels out there. But ultimately, four gospels came to be. And if you want to know why these four, we can talk about it another time. But four gospels came to be. And St. Irenaeus of Lyon explains why there's only four, not three, and not five. He says, just as there are four winds in nature, the world is made up of four corners, and the universe has four elements. In those times, they believed that the universe was comprised of four elements, right? Water, air, fire, and dirt. He said, likewise, our faith, our salvation, is made and has four gospels. Of the four gospels, three of them are very similar. They're called the synoptic gospels: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic is Greek for meaning with the same eye. Syn, same, optic, eye. Synoptic. Because when you look at them and you read them, you sometimes say, wait, I've read this before. They're very, very similar. The same, very similar outline, the same miracles, sometimes even the same words and phrases are used. But the fourth gospel, John, is completely different. It is very unique, is very special, and is very much full of theology. We sometimes think that the Gospels are just histories or stories or biographies about Jesus. Sometimes we hear this, oh, it's the life of Jesus, that's all the Gospels are. But there's so much more than that. The Gospels are actually letters that are written to certain people, certain communities, to tell the good news of what has happened. And just as we write a letter to someone with a specific purpose, to let them know we know whom we're speaking with, so we can relate with that person, likewise, the evangelists did the same thing. When they wrote their gospels and sent them to different groups and communities, they wrote those with the intent of communicating a specific message to them. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, written by Matthew, was written for Jews, for a Jewish community. And we see this in the Gospel. It's divided, and we can go into the details of how it's divided up and how it symbolizes the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. But along with that, there are 67 times he mentions a prophecy that has happened or that has been made in the Old Testament, and it comes true, 67 times. Jews want to know this when they're hearing about this good news. The things that they've believed in for thousands of years, are they coming true? And yes, they are, Matthew says. Mark, on the other hand, he's writing to pagans. I was going to say heathens, but be more politically correct. Pagans. non-Jews, people who don't care about the Jewish prophecy. They don't care what the prophet said and what's going to happen. They want to know the good news. And so he writes to them. Luke, on the other hand, he is a doctor. And he's writing to what's called Hellenized Jews. Jews that have been living in a pagan society for so long that they've sort of taken on those attributes, taken on Hellenistic Greek names and customs. And so he's writing to them. And he's also a doctor. And as a doctor, he writes in his gospel more about the healing miracles that take place, and much more detail, too, of what happens in those miracles. And John, the final gospel, he's not writing to any specific group of people. He's writing to the entire world. He's writing to everybody about this good news. Each gospel has a figure or a creature that is assigned to it. Because in the book of Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation, there is a vision that takes place. And it says that the throne of God is held up by four creatures. One looks like a man or an angel. Another one like a lion. One more like an ox. And the final one looks like an eagle. And so each gospel is attributed, each evangelist is attributed one of these creatures. Matthew is the angel, the man, because he constantly tries to preach and explain how God became man, God's humanity with us. Mark is the lion. He teaches the royalty of Christ. Luke has the ox. He shows the service that God has done. Just as an ox serves man in the fields, likewise God has come not to be served, but to serve. And John is the eagle, showing his divinity. Just as the eagle flies up into heaven and comes down to earth, likewise Christ, who is in heaven, has descended to earth and also ascends back. It is so important to remember that the Gospels are not histories or biographies, but they are letters and they are messages written to specific people. The question then arises, how do we preach the Gospel? How do we communicate the Gospel to others? And as I said, there's a story of a priest, a parish priest, who was very upset with his parish. And as I said in Armenian, I'll tell it in English, not me, it's another priest. I promise you that. But he's very upset with his people. He's upset with his parishioners, and he doesn't understand why they don't get the gospel, why they don't listen to him. And so he goes to this monastery, and he finds this monk, and he explains, and he lets out his entire heart to this monk. And he says, I don't get it. These people don't get God. They don't get the gospel. For years I've gone to school, 10 years and plus, I've gone to school and I've studied the Gospels. I've studied the Bible. I've been to Armenia. I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to many other countries to learn about the Gospel. I've studied for years in seminaries across the world. I do Bible studies and I participate in Bible studies to learn even more. I give sermons every week, sometimes twice a week. I read the Gospel every day, and I read the Bible every day. I've learned languages of Kurapar, Greek, Hebrew, and other languages to better understand the Gospels. I even post on Facebook, and on the website, and in emails about the Gospel to teach the people, and they still don't get it. What can I do to make these people learn what the Gospel and who the Gospel is? And the monk looks at him after listening to his rant, and he says, you are right. You studied very well, and you know the Gospels inside and out. Now go and live the Gospel. Amen. As Christians, we are called not just to learn the Gospel, to read it, or even to repeat and memorize facts about it. Jesus did this, or the Gospel says that. But what we are to do is to live it. Live the good news that we have heard. We do this by participating in the sacraments, by coming to church and receiving Holy Communion. We do this by following the commandments of God, by praying and by fasting. But probably the most important and most crucial way to preach the gospel is to allow Christ to live within us. Christ is not supposed to be left in the church on Sundays. We go home and do other things throughout the week, and then we come back to church on Sunday to visit him. We don't come to church to visit God. We come to church, I know, to visit me and to visit others. But we come to church to see God and to take him from here to others, to take the gospel to others. When we become like Christ, people, whether we like it or not, approach us and start to know us and get to know us and want to know us because they see goodness in us and they become good as well. Just as bugs and moths are attracted to light in a very dark, in the darkness, likewise, people are attracted to Christ's light in a very dark world. And they will come to us. But we must be able to give something back to them. So I ask and I pray that today we be like the evangelists. We be like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't just rattle off facts. They didn't just say, oh, there's this guy named Jesus and he did a couple of things. But they lived the gospel. They lived the good news. They lived the resurrection. They lived life and truth and salvation. And I ask that we follow the words that we may have heard before of St. Francis of Assisi, of the Roman Catholic Church, who says, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary,